It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast. I'm Brother Jared Atkins.
And I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
We're coming to you from Bethlehem Lodge number 574 in Birdseye, Indiana.
Beautiful, historic,
voluptuous,
picturesque. I wouldn't really call it voluptuous.
I don't know. That's just a joke because you busted my chops about it that one day.
Yeah, I can do that.
So, Todd, what's up, man?
Same old, man. Still getting over this cold.
So, We got a lot to talk about in this episode.
Okay.
And
you're leading it.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the Entered Apprentice degree. We're going to talk about the Fellow Calf degree. We're going to talk about my family. We're going to talk about returning to lodge, studying. We're going to talk the whole works, and it all ties together.
Now, don't pull my news card, okay?
So, I have mentioned my cousins on the show before. My uncle. Yeah. Yeah, he's a former past master. He was a master of this lodge during the 100-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, his boys are all three Marines, served our country, did their time. They all seen combat in Iraq. Some of them seen combat in Afghanistan. But anyways,
thank you for your service.
9 or 10 years ago, my cousin, my oldest cousin, Craig, he came through the lodge and took his Entered Apprentice degree.
Right.
And as the story goes, life happens. He went through some struggles. He saw some dark times. He persevered.
Good.
But he always kind of expressed an interest to come back to the lodge.
Right.
I know my grandfather's ultimate goal was to see me, Craig, Garrett, and Mitch, all four of his grandsons, to go through.
Right,
he
right.
saw me go through, you know, all those other three boys have their own memories of Papaw. Some of my favorite memories are the first 5 years in Masonry
right.
with him. When we had Grandpa's Masonic services, my dad didn't stand up there. He was with my grandma. Right. My uncle didn't stand up there. He was with grandma. I went up there. That's what brought me back to lodge.
See, that's weird because I stood up at my dad's, his Masonic service. I stood up there with my dad. I didn't do anything. I just stood up there.
And that was really the first time I'd ever met you, although we didn't meet till like a month later.
Yeah, about a month.
But I messaged you because I've reached out to the Instagram, which I hate Instagram. That's a whole sidebar. Apparently, that's what the kids are using nowadays. I don't understand the point of Instagram when you can post a picture on Facebook or Twitter. What is the point of the Instagram? But apparently, it's what the kids are using nowadays. Call me a boomer. I'll wear it. Don't care. But anyways, Todd's like, hey, you got to talk to Phil. My name's Todd Whaley. I'm just running the social media for the Instagram. But anyways, my cousin, he had went through some stuff, as I mentioned. So he didn't think that he was right or whatever to stand up there, whatever the case. I don't remember it. I know it broke his heart when me and my dad both told him that he could have stood up there with me.
Right, yeah.
When he found out later, you could see it in his face because, you know, nine times out of 10, a papaw is a strong figure and a hero in most boys.
At least our age group.
I was senior deacon. Craig's 42, so he's about 5 years older than me. So, but anyways, you know, he never stopped expressing interest. And, so about a year ago, he reached out to me, you know, as mentioned, he's a Marine Corps veteran, did 12 years of service for his country, seen combat twice in Iraq, nice. Did a lot of things for his country. He reached out to me about wanting to start potentially a podcast, something to help veterans that suffer with PTSD and veterans that suffer homelessness and anything veterans related. And then I said, well, yeah, I said, I got podcast equipment. And he said, yeah. He said, you have a podcast about Freemasonry, don't you? And I said, yeah. And then that opened the door once again for the conversation. So it's been about a year. And then he's like, well, I got some stuff going on. He said, but I would like to potentially start coming back and finishing my degrees up. And no offense to him, but everybody out there knows what I'm talking about. You have these candidates that always say, hey, let's do this. But something always happens.
See,
something
call them,
always comes up. Right, right.
I can't do it tonight. I got to run here. I got to do this.
And my thing was this year, when one of the things, as you well know, one of the things I mentioned is I want to get some. We have 7 outstanding EAs.
Five,
whatever. I want to get these guys either finished through or off the books or whatever. That was my goal.
Right.
So I reached out to some of them. A couple of them still haven't messaged back. One of them's debating. One of them did officially say he has no further interest in pursuing. And then I finally got around to talking to my cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, yes, I want to finish. And I said, okay. I said, well, we'll get some stuff together and we'll rush you through in a one-day class. And he goes, no.
No.
He goes, I want to do it the way the family did. I said, okay. I said, well, we're going to have to start studying. And he's like, all right, we'll study. And then asked me what I did tonight.
What'd you do tonight, Jared?
I went to my cousin's place and we studied. And when I tell you, his book...
It's probably old and tattered.
From 10 years ago, looks like it's seen better days. But you can clearly tell where he's been.
He's flipped through it.
He's flipped through it, and he kept apologizing. He goes, you're going to have to help me with this. He said, I'm sorry. I said, what are you saying sorry for?
Yeah, you're learning.
I said, you're learning. I said, everybody did this. He did. Yeah. I did crack a joke, and I said, okay. I said, do you want me to teach you the way I learned with Grandpa, or do you want me to teach you the way Dad tried to show me?
Yeah.
So then, of course, he asked the question, what's the difference? And as every loyal listener to the show knows, my dad's a pushover, and he would just tell me the word, we keep going. Grandpa would close the book, and we'd go all the way back to the front.
Yep.
He goes, I want to learn it like Grandpa, but maybe for the first night, maybe we just not close the book. Yeah. So we went through it 3 times, and I've told him, I said, if you give me 1 hour a week for about a month, I said, we can get you ready for a fellow craft degree.
Oh, yeah, he
said, why? I said, because you're an ex-Marine. I said, military guys are so smart. They're so sharp. They pick up on things quick because they have to. If they don't pick up on something quick, they could potentially lose their life in combat situations. Military guys, I will always say, are sharp and quick-witted.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just some big blind dummy running through the field with a firearm. So, but he expressed interest. And then tonight, over the course of the studying,
how far did you get?
We went through the obligation, which I can say the word obligation. We went through the lecture. We went through the crossfire.
Did he know it? Could he read it?
4 times. He was starting to pick up. Okay. By the third time through, he was starting to beat me to a couple of the words. Of course, I would read the question, I would read the answer. Again, nothing we can't give away. We just can't give away what's in it. We're flirting line. We've been doing this long enough. We know what we can get away with on the show and what we can't. So when the third time around, he was reading it back to me the way we all did when we took our obligation. We all remember that. It was a repeat after me.
Mm-hmm.
So he was starting to do the repeat after me. The problem is that I don't know if he'll hear this. I told him I was probably going to talk about him tonight. But he was starting to beat me to a couple of the work. And I think it warms my heart because I know this meant a lot to him.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't see somebody talk about it for 10 years. But I guess that's you never really know how much masonry does weigh on somebody's heart. Because here's somebody that has been outstanding for 9 or 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the statute of limitations are as far as Masonic goes in the state of Indiana. I don't know if there is one, but I don't know what some of these other states do when somebody's been on their books for 9 or 10 years.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's expressed interest, and I was like, it's probably not going to happen. I'm not saying I was doubting him, but it's like, no offense to him, but just given the history that we see with other people all the time, I didn't put a lot of faith in it. And as we started cracking through the ritual tonight, I realized something that I guess I kind of forgot. I love doing ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my ritual for me, I'm not saying I'm a lazy Mason. I'm not saying I'm not an intelligent Mason. I just like what I like. And I like the crossfire because the memories I have from studying. That's why I always do the crossfire. I like doing the working tools, and I'm starting to like the charges.
Yeah,
the charges
are fun.
But we're sitting there tonight, and it's like literally the only other time I've really done this was when I mentored John, our honorary third co-host. I mean, he's our honorary third. When I got to mentor John, because you see that growth.
Oh yeah.
From and of course I laugh about this because they're always like, I don't know if I'm going to remember this, and I'm going to be so nervous when I got to recite it back. And you're He's like, oh, surprised. Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah. You know,
don't be nervous.
Yeah. Don't be nervous. When you recite it back, it's going to be really easy. And I mean, you know,
well, it's
wink, wink like, when I recite it back.
Like I always tell everybody, it's like it's not ritual. That's the work. You know, like you got to think of look at the way the ancient Mason was when he would learn how to square stones and use all the tools and everything. You know, they didn't know how to do it right away. For they had to be taught over and over and over the correct way to use a chisel, a hammer, a common gavel, a 24 gauge. They had to be taught how to do that over and over and over. It wasn't a day long thing. It took them, you know, the ancient apprentice was about 7 years.
As I reach into my bag to pull out the monitor, there's a reason why.
So, you know, you learn the work. You learn how to do the work. Then you got to learn the reason behind the work. And, you know, I told everybody who I ever mentored, like, you're not going to get this in 10 days. You're going to get this in 2 weeks. It might take you a month. It might take you 2 months to do it. It's all about how hard, how much you want to do it. It took me a month.
What does 90% of everybody always say to the new brother? You get out of this,
what you put into it. I worked on mine every night by myself because I had the cheater book, Look to the East by Lester.
I do have a copy. I don't need it very often, but I have a copy.
I can't find mine now. I lost it somewhere, but that's how I learned my work. I worked on every night from about 9 o'clock at night to about 1 o'clock in the morning. And that was every single night. And by the time I actually gave the work lecture while I was still in EA. And if I hadn't done that, I don't know where I would. I would have one day class and never went back.
So I hold in my hand my grandpa's monitor, the 1975 edition.
Right.
And again, just as a reminder, in case we might have somebody that's only checked out the show once or twice, or this might be their first time, the rule of thumb with Masonic podcasting is,
if it's in the monitor, you can talk about it.
If it's in the monitor, we can talk about it. So I would like to read, if you'll allow me this, I would like to read the blurb in there about the working to... Oh, that's the fellow craft. Better not read those ones yet.
Not yet.
Let me go to the Entered Apprentice one. You know, one of my favorite things about when I've only mentored John, and I guess I'm going to mentor Craig now, but
right.
I've studied Lodge, as we all have, with other Masons. You know, one of my favorite parts about studying the fellow craft is the first time the new ones go through it, it is when you get to the working tools, and you can clearly see they're paying attention. They're like, it dawns on them, like, these were real tools that they used in the olden times, and yet we're using them in a way that's...
You teach a lesson.
So just for the sake of the show and episode, I would like to read the working tools just as a refresher. Maybe somebody doesn't...
Knock yourself out, kid.
Todd, do you remember, so we can get a little audience participation here, okay, the working tools of an Entered Apprentice?
The 24-inch gauge and the common gavel.
The 24-inch gauge is an instrument made use of by operative masons to measure and lay out their work. But we as free and accepted masons are taught to make use of it for
the
more noble and glorious purpose of dividing our times. It being divided into 24 equal parts is emblematical of the 24 hours of the day, whereby we are taught to divide into three equal parts, whereby we find 8 hours for the service of God and a distressed worthy brother, 8 hours for our usual vocations, and 8 hours for refreshment and sleep. The common gavel is an instrument made use of by operative masons to break off the corners of rough stones, the better to fit them for the builder's use. But we as free and accepted masons are taught to make use of it for the more noble and glorious purpose of divesting our minds of all the consciences and the vices and superfluities of life, thereby fitting our bodies as living stones for that spiritual building, that house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Right.
Why did I read that like I was doing my newscast?
Because you got the voice and the habit.
But tonight, as we literally went through this, and he's following along in the little book A, the little book that they give, that all jurisdictions give to their Entered Apprentices.
Little green book.
When we got to the working tools part, I just looked at him and I just smiled because it's like, of course, I'm not saying he's a dummy. I don't want people to think that. Nobody's a dummy, but it's all about seeing the connection. Mm-hmm. And then when you're teaching and when you're helping and when you're studying, I can't explain it, man. I had a good feeling. And I literally just had my craft ritual out and the monitor with me. That's all I had. But I was getting excited. And then I looked at that book or the monitor, which, as I've said, I carry Grandpa's monitor. I've retired my original one that fell apart. I retired my replacement one I got the month I came back to Lodge after I met you. And now I carry Grandpa's monitor that I got.
You also
got to
remember that, you know, most people go through high school now. Don't go through like a shop class, a woodworking class, to like that. Most of the guys out there who were with your school.
You know what's in the old wood shop room at Forest Park now?
No idea.
The gym. The weight room.
Oh, really? Was that the wood shop? I didn't know that.
Yeah, was the old wood shop room. I spent 4 years of high school in that room.
But most guys wouldn't know a square, a plumb, a level. I mean, people don't know how to build things anymore. We're not really manufacturers anymore at home. We don't, you know, build our own sheds. We don't build our own houses. We don't, you know, make a bookshelf, stuff like that.
Do you remember the ADHD episode?
With the fly?
Yeah. Look what's happening now.
Well, if you take a bath every once in a while, we wouldn't have a problem. That would be.
Hey, buddy. Did you shower when you got home from work?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
It's real.
Maybe it is me.
But, you know, it's like I don't understand what these tools represented and what they did, for one thing. Your plumb. I probably knew what really a plumb was if I didn't have a friend who was a surveyor.
What's your favorite part of the Entered Apprentice degree? Mine was always if I think back to October of 2007, which now this month that would have been what, 17 years, 18 years, 17 years. When I think back to that night, my favorite part of that night as far as looking back was when I stood up there and the working tools were explained to me. Because I love the connection that, hey, this is speculative masonry.
Right.
But literally thousands of years ago, these guys were physically, manually, operatively doing this same stuff. Mm-hmm. And a brotherhood was forged out of that.
Yeah, basically a trade union.
Call it that, a trade union.
A guild, a trade union.
We should start a podcast guild.
We're working on it.
Okay.
But
that other Masonic everything.
Yeah, no shit. But, yeah, you think about it, guys who use these tools every single day and they're masters of the craft, they look deeper into what the tools actually represent, or what they actually do. You know, you got your chisels, you got your, even if like someone wanted to really look deep into a light switch. You know, I always kind of use the example of a light switch. A light switch represents the whole world of good and evil, dark and light. And it's up to the individual which way he wants to flip that switch.
Hey,
does he want to flip it up and be in the light of knowledge, or is he going to be closed-minded and have the light switch down and be in the darkness of ignorance? You know, I mean, you can do that stuff for eating. I mean, but yeah, I think those, even the blacksmiths who would talk about, you know, the hammer is not just a hammer. It represents more than that. The forge is blah, 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 blah. I mean, the guys who use these tools every day and they're constantly thinking about these tools every single day. This is their livelihood. This is their life using these working tools. You know, yeah, they're going to look deeper into them. And that's where I think a lot of these messages and a lot of these rituals come from, these guys looking deep into what they actually did. I mean, you think about back when they first started the actual, you know, speculative Freemasonry, these guys piggybacked off the operative guys. I'm pretty sure the operative guys were teaching these lessons like we learn now, but they had all those probably years and years of time to develop these rituals, to instruct these guys that we as Masons use this tool to represent this, and we use this tool to represent that, and we use this tool to represent this, so that we put ourselves not at the level of the common person, but we're in a level above them because we keep ourselves at this higher standard. And that's what the working tools represent, is a higher standard of thinking, living, and
acting. I was going to say a higher standard of living.
Mm-hmm. Acting, being, you know, either way like that. But, I mean, you can do it for anything. Like, yeah, a blacksmith, a carpenter, a rug maker, a, you know, if they...
A candlestick maker, sorry.
Baker, you know, baker. But, yeah, if they really want to get into the philosophical way of looking into it, like I said with the light switch, you look at the light switch long enough, you think, okay, what does that do? Turns lights on and off. Now we don't do nothing.
I think that's our outside. No, that's automatic.
It's on all the time. I don't know what that was for. But, you know, but if you look that deep into it, what is it actually teaching me by using this tool or this switch or this oven or whatever? That's where the esoterics come from, too. People looking deeper into the meaning of a simple symbol. You know what I mean?
I still laugh. Well, you don't get esoteric like Todd does. Okay, number one, Todd doesn't get that esoteric. But number two, that doesn't make me a bad Mason because I don't. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy esoteric stuff, but sometimes it gets too far in there. Yes. You've just got to like throw your hands out, like stop. Yeah. And back away because your brain circuit overloads.
When you get
again,
into
brother
the,
Juan,
you get to the metaphysical. Instead, I'm like, I'm out.
Come
I'm
on, just, brother
I'm,
Juan.
I'm a book,
brother Juan. I'm pretty sure brother Juan's never. We're not even on his radar.
Oh no, heck no.
Great stuff, but sometimes he gets so
deep.
I just have to back away and turn it off. And that's no offense to brother Juan. I love the brother. He's got great content. He has. Go ahead and give him a plug. The name of his podcast is
Winding Stairs.
One of the best masonry podcasts out there.
And he's a great Masonic artist too.
And he's a great guy. It's just sometimes my brain short circuits because like he's saying things and your brain, my brain starts processing. The neurons are firing a million miles an hour and it's like, Juan, slow down. Like, I got to turn it off. I got
to
back away.
To him, he has that mind that will look deeper and deeper into a symbol.
And he doesn't stop.
And he'll keep going deeper and deeper. There's a lot of guys on TikTok like that, too, who just sit there and talk about esoterics. And one of them, who's no longer amazing, he was so deep into it.
We won't mention.
No, yeah, I'm not talking
about But he did. I saw old content.
His content was good, but to me, it was so deep, it was boring. I'm like, I don't need to know this. This is nothing I'm interested in. But that's the good thing about Freemasonry. You don't have to go that deep into it. You go as deep as you want to if you find it interesting. To me, I don't find it interesting when they get the metaphysical and the cheese and all that stuff. I don't. To me, it's not something I'm interested in.
Hey, without naming names, and we're not because we don't want the beef, is he officially?
He's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's still trying to blame everybody, but it's a moot point now.
Nothing
but,
we're neutral in this. No. We don't have a dog in the fight. It's nothing
I've actually,
with us.
I've never had a bad thing to say to him. I've never actually talked to the guy before, so I had no dog in the fight.
No, I don't either. There was a joke that I was involved in right after Grand Lodge that the words were taken out of context. Yes, it was misinterpreted.
It was very much misinterpreted.
And then a couple brothers stepped up that still talked to the man, but we won't name them because we don't want to get anybody in trouble. But a couple people stepped up and was like, hey, that was taken out of context. This is what Jared meant. And anyways.
A lot of it was just a simple joke that was...
I asked somebody to repeat it because I didn't hear what I thought I heard, and it was taken out of context. Anyways, so but yes, anyways. His content I checked out before.
Yeah, and there's a few other guys out there who, like the philosopher on there, he gets pretty deep with some of my stuff.
I like watching his stuff.
I've talked to him a few times, and it's almost above my level. I mean, not my level, but just my level of my wanting to know that.
I'm gonna throw a shout out to Nez.
He's
got some.
He does okay. Since he got all that stuff with him and everything, I've kind of just cooled off on that too. But I mean, he has some good stuff. But his content again, I thought was great and everything. Then he started going a little off the rails. But that's neither here nor there. But I'm just not that deep into like the deep meanings of it and how it physically should change me and stuff like that.
And again, like we said, you know, last season, I don't remember what episode it was. Hey, check us out in the archives. Available wherever you want to get your podcast from, that other Masonic podcast. Right. But sometimes I would agree, some of it got a little boring. Yeah. If I'm not engaged, you can have the greatest movie script in the world. You can have the best actors playing the characters, but if it's not drawing anybody in,
if I'm not engaged, I don't care. But as far as the working tools, we go by the working tools nearly. Yes, I can understand that because I'm pretty common. I understand the working tools. I understand a lot of the other symbols in Freemasonry too. I'm not going to look any deeper than what I have to look at. Because to me, I don't have enough time to put into it. I don't have time to sit there and read book after book after book.
About this would be a chance to plug your thesis paper. I call it a thesis. It's not really. You want to go ahead and plug this real quick?
Even the point within the circle and everything, I went deep into that.
I just want to hear you say the word phallus. That's why. It's such a funny word.
It is. I mean, it's lingus and the phallus. But, I mean, I went so
everybody
deep into
that's
it.
Which, not checked this out before, is like, did he just say lingus and phallus? What the hell are we listening to?
It's bowl and a pole. But yeah, I mean, I'm still working on that too.
How many paragraphs you got on that?
Probably 4,000. I don't know. I got a bunch.
4,000 words?
Probably. And I got to cut it down because it's just getting out of hand. I can work on it like once every 2 weeks. It's like, this is just getting out of hand.
I'm waiting to read this. What are you?
It'll be a while. But like I said, I'm not an academic kind of person. I'm not that guy who's.
Well, you were a diesel mechanic.
Yes, I'm just a mechanic, a machinist, whatever you want to call me. AB student in high school, never took any of her classes. You know, but I'm interested in knowing where these symbols came from and why we use them. But at the same time, you look into it like, well, we really christened that one up, didn't we? You know?
As we were studying, and I was digging through my lodge bag and everything, and I had some stuff. He asked some questions. Obviously, I could tell him only what I could tell him as an entered apprentice.
Right.
And, you know, I told him, I said, well, I'm a Knights Templar in the York Rite. And he asked a bunch of questions about that. I was like, hey, I'm newly minted. Like, yeah. I was just knighted back in August.
Have you even been to a meeting yet?
No, I have not been to a meeting since. Actually, when we were at the breakfast, I talked to Brother Phil Stroud, and I said, I need to get down to the meetings. I still need all my literature.
Yeah,
I have none. The only literature I have is my ritual book from the council. Yeah. I have nothing for the chapter. I have nothing for the commandery. So I need to get down there. But things have been busy. But Craig was asking questions about the knight. He goes, Knights Templar. I said, yeah. I said, I've been thinking about getting a sword. And again, a unsupervised Jared with a sword. Can you just imagine?
You're going to stab yourself.
I know but
you come in with a little bandage. What happened there? Well, I don't want to talk about it.
See, and again, I don't think he's going to mind me. I told him I'd probably talk about him a little bit because of how much tonight meant to me and the whole coming back to Lodge and taking interest after something you just kind of stepped away for 10 years. I mean, technically, I stepped away for 8 years, but that was different circumstances.
I stepped away for about...
Six
something like that. I started a family. I was coach football, so.
But I mean, he asked questions and see, he, their mother, my aunt, she's a very Catholic woman.
Oh yeah.
And faith is a huge part for a lot of us. And again, we are not a religion. That's the one thing I stress to people: we are not a religion. No. We are an organization that has some religious based stuff in it, but we are not a religion. Yeah. And
we're not replacing your faith.
No, he did. He did say there for a while after he first went in, because we all know without giving away, we all know what we're asked when we get into the room for the entered apprentice degree. And again, we've been doing this long enough now, and Grand Lodge loves us. We know what lines we can cross and what lines we can't. So we're not going to come right out and say it. But everybody listening to me, no matter what jurisdiction you're in this country, we all know the question we're asked when we get in the center of the room.
Right.
Okay. So, but he said
you smell
he.
Smell that?
No. Yeah, you smell that? They did make. Oh, man, them beans were good. But he did express to me that he had some concerns of how this was going to interfere with his faith. Now, he's not really going to a Catholic church anymore. He goes to like a Methodist church or a Christian church. Again, religion's religion. But we know the stigma about organized religion with Freemasonry. We know
some are okay with it, some are not.
Right. And, you know, he made it clear to me. He goes, I don't, I will never renounce my faith. I said, nobody in this organization will ever ask you to renounce your faith. That's the exact opposite of what we're doing.
Yes.
What I always tell people.
You may have a well-founded faith just to be in
here. And what I always tell people, and I have said this, there's a million different ways to explain Freemasonry to somebody.
Yes.
There is. You know, you always can rattle off the first three or four sentences of the monitor verbatim. Moral Freemasonry is a course in moral allegory or whatever. Like you can do it verbatim. But I always tell people what Freemasonry is not only has it made me a better person, and especially since I came back 3 years ago. Freemasonry has improved my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I'm still not going to church. I said in December of last year that I was going to start going back to church. I needed to. I attended a few masses at my old Catholic church. There's a new priest there. He is a little hard to understand. He's a Latino.
Ferdinand?
Huh? Ferdinand? No, over here at Schnellville. That's where my mom's buried at, over there at Schnellville, Sacred Heart Church. Mm-hmm. He's Latino or maybe Brazilian or something. Definitely something in the Hispanic.
Art is Indian.
He's a wonderful man, though. Nothing against him.
I can't understand
him. But I was having trouble understanding him. And then I was like, so that's when I was asking out. And I have always firmly believed that God doesn't care what church you go to.
No.
God just wants you to invite him into your house. And maybe come visit him at his house once in a while.
Yeah. God don't take attendance, in my opinion.
So when he said to me tonight, he goes, I won't renounce my faith. And he said, it don't matter. He said something tonight that stuck with me. He said, it don't matter what, how did he say it? He goes, it's not about going to church. The book says you ought to be the church.
Right.
And I was like, wow, that is so profound. But to hear that tonight, and I'm on cloud nine because I had a wonderful evening studying with my cousin. My cousin is 5 years older than me. He used to babysit me. He's a decorated veteran. He's a war hero, in my opinion. He did two tours in Iraq, gave 12 years of service to the United States Marine Corps.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. Just a wonderful, wonderful man. He's a wonderful human being. And tonight I was just, I enjoyed this so much. But like we had good talks about mate, and he was asking so many questions, and that's when I knew I got him. I got him back when he started asking questions and things about, you know, I explained to him that there's essentially five appendant bodies in Freemasonry. There's the York Rite, the Scottish Rite, the Shrine, the Grotto, and the Tall Cedars.
Yeah, there's more than that,
Those are the heavy hitters. Yeah. Those are your heavy hitters. Those five.
Yeah,
your heavy hitters.
We're talking with Tall Cedars. We got to have our brother Jim Marion back on and talk about his year.
As
Supreme Tree.
He said, "What's the Tall Cedars?" I said, "You know those funny hats that you guys in the military wear?" And I said, "Think Clint Eastwood, Heartbreak Ridge." He goes, "Oh yeah, those whatever he called them. I don't remember what he called them."
Yeah,
I said,
funnier.
"I said the Cedars wear something similar to that. They just look a little funnier."
We're pyramids.
But they kind of look like those military hats. Yeah.
Oh, those fold hats.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Maybe.
Or like the people would wear at the burgers, diners back in the 50s.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. You still get those when you go to Shake and Bake or Shake and Steak? Shake and Bake. Ricky Bobby! Shake and Shake.
You got too much damn energy tonight, son.
I am riding a mental and emotional high right now.
Yeah, I kind of see what you're talking about.
And that's when I knew I got him. I'm like, you're asking questions. We just went through the book tonight for the first time in 10 years. And he's already asking questions. And then he admitted to me, too. Like I said, he had some stuff going on, all worked out. But he's also the same story that happens with everybody. Life
happens. Yeah.
Busy. Every weekend I was doing something. I was here. I was there. I was doing, you know. He got married last year. He had his second child this year.
I always said Masonry's always going to be there. It's not going anywhere. It might not be the town you live in, but it's going to be there somewhere.
And like I said, this whole episode is tied around me and him studying tonight and connecting about this, but there's so many different avenues we can go. So I want to post.
So what do you think? Two more weeks to the Fellowcraft?
I told him, I said, by our November 6th, day after Election Day, I said, by our November 6th stated meeting, I said, we'll be talking about when you're ready to take a failcraft. He goes, I don't know about that. I said, okay. I said,
but he'd been waiting this long.
I told him, I said, we'll have that failcraft taken by the end of the year before we get 2024.
Yeah, Matt Mason by the end of the
year. 2025. Well,
Matt Mason Christmas, buddy.
That means we're going to have to start having some practices for failcraft coming up soon because I told him, I said, I got to get ready.
It's a one man show.
Well, yeah, for Phil, for the second half.
Learn your ritual and move on.
But
I have Ron do the Larry G in charge. And
so done, I'd like to post, I say post like we're online.
Yeah.
I would like to pose a question to all of our listeners. And again, I want to take a quick time out and a quick sidebar here. We are so thankful because I don't know what's changed in our formats, our formulas, our listeners, our content.
We are interrupted like you used to.
But we are starting now to get feedback and people responding to questions almost every episode. And it's some people might just say, hey, great episode. Some people might share in, hey, we had one brother message us a few months back. He goes, hey, he goes, I live in Maine. Remember that guy? He goes, I'm from Maine, but I got some Indiana roots. He goes, my family's there. He goes, I love when you guys talk about the differences between the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state in Indiana. He goes, I love you for that.
Well, then you had a guy from Germany.
We had a guy message us from Germany tonight. He goes, I got,
Javol.
Yeah. He goes, I'd like to be on the show. He goes, but there's a 6-hour time difference. So,
at Otakon,
that's a big difference. Man, I just looked down here. I'm like, I hope I'm not blowing my EQ out.
No, you're doing good.
So, I'm going
to. My ears are so clogged, I can't hear nothing.
Drop this down just a little bit. There we go. But, so here we go. I'm going to pose a question. So, for some of our listeners out there, some of you that may have stepped away from the lodge for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, what has made you come back? Now, I say that with a caveat.
Here we go.
Because we have a lot of elder members in lodges.
A lot.
That step away, but then once they hit retirement,
they come back.
They come back.
Yeah.
Like brother Mikey Deal. Mikey stepped away for decades because he's working at the railroad. Now he's retired. He's up here every meeting. He was up here at the breakfast.
Yeah. I talked helping. To
him. Yeah. So for all those out there that have stepped away for a while, because I'm getting ready to ask Todd the question, which I kind of know the answer. It's a refresher, and I'm going to give mine, which you all kind of know the answer. It's a refresher. But, you know, when you stepped away, whether it was after your third degree or whether it was years in between your other degrees, what drove you to come back? What made that decision for you? Why did you come back? So for you, you stepped away around.
Yeah, I didn't really step away. I moved.
It was about 2010, 2011.
2011, we moved out here in January 2011, and I didn't know anybody. But at the time, you know,
Google searching though, like where's Masonic lodges near me?
I knew where all the lodges were at and everything, but I didn't know anybody, a member of any of them. The only Mason I knew was the guy who was training me, and he was a member of Prince Hall, a white guy member of Prince Hall, because he joined the Army back in the first Gulf War.
You told me about that.
Well, I really didn't know anybody, but at the same time, I'm not going to leave my fiance at the time home alone while I travel 5 nights a week like I used to.
Right.
You know, so I thought, well, okay, we'll just take a break.
This was before Ava by about a few years, right? This was about 5 years before Ava.
About 2 years before Ava. See, we were.
Yeah, because she was about a 2013 baby because Briley was a 2014 baby.
Yeah, she was 2013. But, you know, it was just, you know, life. I was coaching football. I was starting a family and everything. And then.
Was you starting at Jet then?
Yeah, I started Jet right away.
You probably got that locked up before you moved.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Moved that's down here without a job.
That's the reason I moved down here because of Jasper Ensign's.
But, well, she wanted to probably come home too.
Well, she did too. And I liked it down here. I liked the area. I liked the people. And it was fun. I mean, I've lived other places in my life. So. But, I mean, I always wanted to go back to it. I always wanted to get involved into it again. But. Say starting a family and you're busy with work and you don't know anybody, so you had to work your way into lodge. Well, that kind of kept me away a little bit there. But then once I stopped coaching football, and I told them today, they told me they didn't want me to coach football anymore. I told my wife that I'm gonna go back to lodge. I'm gonna start going, I'm gonna find a lodge to join around here, you know. And I went to Du Bois, I went to Jasper, I went to Newton Stewart, French Lick, here, went to Linville, Gentryville.
You were just taking a lodge tour. You were just making a lodge
and
tour.
I came to a past master's degree here when Kerry Weiger, French Lick, was I think Nick Enloe and Kara Weinger took their past masters. I came up here for a past master's degree.
And they not asked me, Barry, Kerry.
Kerry, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And they asked me, said, what year were you master? And I had to think about it, like, 06, 07, 08, and 09, because I was Monarch in 2010. So, but then I really started looking around. I thought about joining out Linville because they're an hour behind us, so I'd get off work at 5, still be down there. But I really didn't
want to drive that far.
Didn't want to drive that far, and I really didn't jive those guys that well because we didn't have anything in common locally, you know. So I thought, well, we'll go to Jasper. And I'm like, well, yeah, but if we do anything with it, it's not going to help my area out at all. You know, it's not where I live at. The fundraising.
The school district talk that we always have.
Exactly.
That's why we were in the Hymet Fest this year.
So I thought, okay, if I'm going to join, I'm going to join something in my school district where my kids go to school.
Well, there's no Masonic Lodge in Ferdinand.
Right.
It's Bird's Eye.
It's got to be Bird's Eye. So that's how I settled on Bird's Eye. And I regret it every time. I'm just kidding.
Especially when you met me.
Well, yeah, that bastard.
So, again, you know, sometimes
it never left my mind. It's not like I got mad and left or anything. It's not like I just got bored of it. Before I moved down here, it was an everyday thing for me. I mean, I was on the phone 3 or 4 times a day talking to you guys about Lodge or Grotto or anything else that matter.
So, with me, and again, you know, we've said this till we're blue in the face, but we always get new listeners every episode. Oh. I stepped away because I went to work night shift.
Right.
I worked down at the foundry, down at the steel mill for 10 years, and I worked night shift for 6 of those 10 years. So, well, technically it was more like 3 years on night shift and then 3 years of the swing shift, which is the worst swing.
The worst shift you never
worked. Well, what's dumb is the most swing shifts around here run a different type of shift where you'll do like, you know, a week of days and then a few days off, then a week of nights. Well, Paca's swing shift ran like this. 2 12-hour days, 24 hours off, 2 12-hour nights, 2 days off, which was really only like a day and a half off when you think about it, because by day 2, you've got to be back in bed to get up early in the morning.
Right.
That was the worst swing shift. It'd be better if it was ran like other things, but you know, so I couldn't really go to Lodge. And then even the last 4 years I was there, when I got the day shift, there was nights I was off and I could have came up here.
Mm-hmm.
But I could not have done it on work because Perry County is an hour behind, you know.
Right.
They live on the wrong time. That's a sin in the Lord's eyes. If you look hard enough in the big book, it says clearly in the red words, thou shall not live or work on Central Standard Time. That is a moral sin. Central Standard Time is wrong. That says it in the red words.
I think you better look again, bub.
Thou shall not live or work on Central Standard Time. Jesus okay. said it, so it's got to be true.
Uh-huh.
So, but at any rate, so I came back because I got roped into it.
Yeah, basically.
Here's how this happened. For those that are new to the show or may not remember, I know somebody's calling me, but well, that's not important.
Who's Danny?
She's an old friend. She's going through a rough patch. It's a buddy situation. So she moved away when we were kids. She lives in South Dakota. So,
oh, God's country.
Yeah.
Godforsaken country.
Mm. Hi, Danny. Not that you'll ever hear this. Cheap plug. She moved away when we were like 6th graders. Anyways, so I came back to our October stated meeting because I wanted to thank everybody for just allowing me to take part as senior deacon in my grandfather's Masonic services.
Yep.
That meant the world to me to stand up there, to be the one to open and close the Bible and all that stuff, and stand there right beside the casket up there, because I knew it probably made him proud.
That's what Randy Seifel came to that meeting to give a...
So the October stated meeting, October of 2020, Randy listens. Randy, it's 3-year anniversary of me meeting you. So
we're sorry about that.
A future guest. By the way, for anybody listening that's asked, we have officially decided we are waiting to do our episode with Randy
next year
until next year when he's the grand poobah. Because I mean, it would just be better. Otherwise, we would already had him. But anyways, and Jackie Ash got wind that I was here, and Jackie Ash, for those that don't know. A lot of the Masons local knows who Jackie Ash is. Jackie Ash,
past grand lecturer.
Jackie Ash and my grandfather grew up together. Mm-hmm. Jackie Ash and my grandfather were very good friends. Both of those men thought the world of each other. Jackie's like, oh, you're back. Ray would be proud. Well, hey, if I said, I'm not back. I said, I was just, you know, well, you know, why don't you go see a degree? So,
hey, we're having one here. Hey,
yeah. So here. So Jackie Ash got wind about it, texted me, called me, whatever. And I seen him at a degree. And before I knew it, in the span of about 3 weeks, I'd seen like 3 degrees. Mm-hmm. So then I figured, well, what the hell? I'll come up for the November stated meeting one more time just to say hi.
Wrong
election night. There I went to the South. And I just remember Philip goes, yeah, we're not letting you leave anymore, guy. You're back for good now. So
now your knees.
Yeah. So now I'm in the East. But I came back, and this is funny. In my mind, if you could go back right now and ask November 2021 Jared, just elected to the East. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm coming back just because, you know, this is for Grandpa. I'm just kind of honoring Grandpa's memory. I'm going to hang out for a few months, and then I'll slowly start fading my way back out. But as we learned, and I didn't really realize this till about the spring of 2022, till about March-ish. So after about 6 months, I wasn't doing this for Grandpa's memory.
No.
I started doing this for me. I got back into it. I was cracking books open. I got a new monitor, which I had for a month before Dad gave me Grandpa's.
There you go.
But I was reading Ritual again. I was studying Ritual. It's like, man, I miss this. I'm doing this for me. And then some idiot says, let's start a podcast.
That's me.
And then we get going on that, and that takes off like a bat out of hell. I can't believe I just said bat out of hell. We're talking about good stuff.
All right, Meatloaf. Wrap it up.
But, I mean, I came back truly because I think I needed something to anchor myself to.
Oh, yeah.
I was a year into my divorce, depression, financial hard times, bankruptcy, all this stuff. I needed something to anchor myself to.
Yep.
And it turned out that anchor was something I had all along. It was masonry.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're at. So that's why I came back. But the whole point of this being is that I think he's at a point now where he's like, I'm interested in this. And I want to see this through,
mm-hmm.
not to honor grandpa or nothing, but for him.
Yeah, it's something for him to do. And
man, when he's asking questions.
It's not destructive. It's not like you're hanging out with your buddy drinking beer all the time, and or you're not out in the shop woodworking and smoking cigarettes all night and just bullshit with everybody.
That's what you did. You were out there smoking cigarettes and studying Ritual.
Well, yeah, but I wasn't drinking back then either, so.
Todd Whaley's rule of thumb, you don't crack an alcoholic beverage when you're studying Ritual.
That's right.
And you don't drink an alcoholic beverage when you're getting ready to go into Lodge.
Yeah, unless you don't know.
Unless you don't know that there's going to be a tiled Lodge later in the day. Hey, it's been 2 years now. Statute of limitations. Grand Lodge can't say nothing. Todd had a beer before he went into the White Elk Smith Lodge research.
There's no rule saying you can't drink before Lodge. I just never did it. That's one of my rules.
So we go to lunch, and I crack the joke that I'm having margarita, but I don't. I have a Diet Pepsi.
I had Dos Equis, two of them.
Todd had two of them.
Delicious.
I was like, what are you doing? He's like, we're not going to win an entire lodge. We're eating good Mexican food. What's the problem? And I wish you all could have been there on the floor January of 2023 as we're upstairs in the Grand Lodge building. Everybody's putting on aprons, and Todd comes to me with this most horrific look on his face. And I'm not lying. Don't you deny it either. His face was long, white as a ghost. I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, we're going to have a tiled lodge. I was like, oh, you just broke your stuff. I'm laughing like, no. I mean,
yep.
Todd's like, I had two beers. Statute of limitations. I can't do nothing.
I don't care, but.
The look on your face. I will never forget the look on your face.
Like, I don't drink Fargo Church. I don't drink Fargo Lodge.
And then the whole time we're sitting in there as Tyler Whitaker's doing his presentation.
I fell asleep during it too.
I'm sure Tyler loved to hear that.
Yeah. It wasn't because of him. Yeah. It was a long day and I had two beers in me.
But the whole time I'm sitting over there snickering. Todd's like, I'm going to punch you if you don't shut up.
Yeah. Don't matter. Still a great presentation nonetheless. So.
That is on YouTube, correct?
If
you haven't seen it.
It's on the Dwight L. Smith's YouTube page or Grand Lodge page.
Yeah, go search Founders Day 2023, and I'm sure at some point you'll see it. I'm sure it's on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
We have a piece of that stone. I grabbed a piece of the broken stone.
Up here, yeah.
and brought back to the lodge, and it's out there in our place.
The stone really isn't anything special. It just proves that we've been there.
But no, it was the memory attached to it. That's why I do. I'm a core memory guy.
Yeah, it was kind of neat to see how he did that. How he actually is a operative mason as well as a speculative mason.
Like, that says all right there. Yeah. Not just the most beautiful mustache in the state of Indiana, but...
I know Wayne Patmore's got good going right now.
Yeah, it's like, Wayne, you got rid of the beard.
But his mustache is pretty
He's trying to compete with Whitaker now.
Yeah, but I don't think... I don't know. I think his mustache might be a little better. Maybe. Definitely longer. We know that. But... Let's go to the Fellowcraft degree, though. Talk about the...
So, I can't give too much away because I don't know what he's going to say.
Talk about the jewels of Fellowcraft.
I don't know what he's, you know, because he's not been there yet. But I am already looking forward to cracking my ritual and studying the Fellowcraft. I stuttered there. I don't know why.
You going to give a stutter lecture for his? Well, you got it down. But all right.
I can do the first two paragraphs. Unfortunately, I can't read this because, I mean, I don't know if he's going to hear this or not. But,
no, but I mean, basically the Fellowcraft degree is just talking more about the progressive science of Freemasonry.
Well, think about this.
And how to have a rounded life. You have to have a education and be curious about this stuff.
The best way for me to explain this, think of it as steps of childhood and adulthood. Oh, yeah, apprentice, childhood. Toddler, Fellowcraft.
Use manhood age.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And he asked so many questions tonight. We were studying. Like,
and that's great.
He goes. Up here becomes monsters. Ancient fleece and Roman eagle. He
golden
goes.
Golden fleece, Roman eagle.
Golden fleece. Yes, I said that backwards, didn't I? Boy, I told you I ain't a good ritualist. But he was asked a question about the Star and Garter. He goes, Star and Garter.
Well, that's two separate orders.
Right.
Order of the Star and Garter. It's. And they're the chivalric orders of the
I couldn't explain the star.
They're knighthood, basically. They're different kinds of parts of knighthood. They're orders within knighthood, where you have the Order of the Star and Order of the Garter. I can't find anything that says the Order of the Star and the Garter, but I have done research on both of those. And a lot of it goes back to like the almost 1400s, I believe, if I remember right. At least 1700s. Where the Order of the Star, I mean, like Prince William has the Order of the Garter. If you ever see the little big silver jewel on his chest, if he's wearing his formal attire, that's the Order of the Garter, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's it. But most of your royal dukes and your princes and kings will get that order attained to them. It's not a Masonic order. It's actually an order of knighthood. Stuff like that. And the Golden Fleece, I've done a lot of research on that. I got to give a paper on that sometime soon, too. That'll be part of my YouTube channel. So,
the apron lectures.
Apron lectures is probably my favorite thing to give. That word
especially in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, I did get to give it in Illinois. That was pretty neat. But theirs is about the same thing as ours, same wording and everything. But, yeah, when you get your apron, I always say there's an enterprise degree. You don't become a mason when you're an obligation. You get it when you start getting your tools to work, and that's your apron and your working tools. That's how I kind of see it. Now, just my opinion, but when you become a mason, you get your apron, then you become a full-fledged mason, not master mason, but you actually go to work with your tools. I mean, they'll give you something to protect here. Like, if you go to work, what's the first thing they're going to give you for when you walk in?
Right.
Your PPE.
Right.
Okay, well, that's what your apron basically is. Back in the day, that was all safety equipment you had. Because they didn't care if you got hit in the head.
The entered apprentice degree is intended symbolically to represent the entrance of man into the world in which he is afterward to become a living and thinking actor. Hang on. Coming from the ignorance and darkness of the outer world, his first craving is for light. Not that physical light which springs from the great orb of the day as its fountain, but that intellectual light which emanates from the primal source of all things, from the great architect of the universe, creator of the sun and all things that it illuminates.
It sounds pretty good.
So
what was that, Mackie?
It's in the monitor. Yeah. I'm looking.
Either Mackie or, I forget the guy who wrote stuff. Record Marriage and Constitutions, too.
He asked about the Bible tonight.
What about it?
He said the Masonic Bible, because, I mean, growing up as a family of Masons, we've all seen one. He's seen one at Grandpa's funeral.
No different than their Bible.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, is it any different than any other Bible? I said, not to my knowledge.
95% of the lodge you go to in America, they're going to have the King James version of the Bible. And that's just the Bible King James had written out. King James, I guess, was a Mason.
Would you be disappointed in me if I told you I did not know where my Bible is right now?
A little bit. I know where mine's at.
It's one of three places. It's one of three places. It's either in my storage building, which I don't think so. Mm-hmm. It's in Dad's storage building, which is diagonally across from mine at the very other side of the lots over here, right behind us. Mm-hmm. Or it's somewhere at my grandmother and grandfather's home. I do not know.
Mine's out my truck.
If this makes me a bad Mason, that's fine. Well, you've got the smaller version. Mm-hmm. I've got the great big honking mamma jamma that sits on the altar.
Yeah.
I do not know where my Bible is. Mm-hmm. I don't know where my apron is.
You gotta find that.
Well, yeah, because I'm going to be buried in my apron.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to find that apron. I know my wife, it's up in our closet, right next to my fez.
I think my apron is in my storage building.
Mine is, actually, you know, the sad thing is my dad didn't get buried in his apron. We couldn't find it.
Did you take all 3 year degrees wearing that same apron?
Yep.
Did you know that not all lodges do that? Why is that? Another question for all of our listeners. Get at me. Do you guys wear the same apron, your leather apron, through all 3 degrees? Yeah, some lodges don't.
Yeah, some lodges, the apron's an apron. You do it your first one.
I didn't in mine.
Yeah, some lodges don't. It's all lodge preference. You don't have to wear it.
Hear me out, though. When you think about this and what we're teaching and what we're trying to drain in for memory retention and learning, mm-hmm. wouldn't it mean more if the whole time, all 3 degrees, you were wearing the white leather apron?
I think so.
Why is that not more commonplace then?
Well, it's not for me to say, though. I mean, you had to be wearing an apron.
Who can we write a letter to about this?
I don't know. Call the Grand Lecturer.
Talk to the Assistant Grand Lecturer.
You're sitting in his chair right now, so I don't know. I mean,
during podcast hours, this is my chair.
To me, it is important. Now, to other lodges, maybe they want to keep it, keep it spotless and clean. They have a chance to have an accident with it. I don't know. But my dad's apron was in a metal tube, not a cardboard tube, too.
Mine's in cardboard.
Yeah, my dad was in a metal tube. So it's all. You got all kinds of fancy stuff on it. It wasn't just a plain white apron.
Can I share? Okay, again, this has been one of my, this will go down in history as one of my all-time favorite episodes. Like, I'm riding an emotional high right now.
Yeah.
But I want to tell you a story. So I've seen this reel floating around Facebook, and I haven't really been on my TikTok in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm going in incognito so I don't get drug into lives and everything, because I'm still just kind of, washed of it for a while. But I'm starting to get back. But I've been seeing these reels and these TikToks with all the flooding damage and everything that happened from
tornadoes and everything.
The Hurricane Milton, and then the one that hit North Carolina. I can't even think of the name of it now. I'm drawing blank. Sorry, everybody. I know it's a really serious thing. But anyways, we're seeing these reels where some of these houses, which we saw, were completely swept away. And I found this viral reel from some of the hurricane damage and the flooding damage in western North Carolina. And attached to a metal T-post in the ground was a Bible that God had stuck there. And I know everybody listening could be like, somebody just stuck it on there. But it was waterlogged. And you could tell it just looked like it was the force of nature that put it there, not some man trying to just slam it through the cover.
Oh, yeah.
But It was just stuck there, and you look inside, and the cover is shot. It's muddy. They flipped it open. Every single one of those pages was clean as a whistle, mm-hmm. except for the corners. Now, I bring that up because we're talking about the aprons. Okay, well, where's the Bible going to tie into the apron at? I don't remember his name, but I know of a Mason somewhere in southern Indiana. God, I don't know how many lodges we have in southern Indiana. Basically, anything south of Bloomington, southern Indiana.
Yeah, give it that.
So, but there was a story I was told that a Mason had his home burnt. They lost everything. Mm-hmm. There was two things that remained untouched from that house fire. The Holy Bible and his apron in case. Hmm. Now, the Bible covers were singed.
Smoked up,
probably. Smoked up, whatever. And the apron was singed, but not burnt. Explain that to me.
Just either dumb luck or divine.
Isn't that crazy, though? Divine. Because the apron was supposedly in a cardboard tube. Well, the cardboard's going to burn, and everybody knows cardboard, when you throw cardboard boxes on the fire pit.
Takes off
so cardboard. How does the tube burn, but the light leather apron doesn't?
Leather doesn't burn as easy as cardboard.
But you got a whole house going up in flames. Everything's hot in there.
Yeah, but still.
I mean, it's hotter than the devil's ass on 4th of July. Like,
true, but I mean, leather doesn't burn.
Divine intervention.
There you go. You can believe whatever you want. It don't matter to me.
I'm in a great mood.
I can tell.
This was tonight, and I knew I had him because when I left tonight, he's like, he goes tomorrow night I got a funeral to go to for a little while. He goes if you're free, he goes, well, I can study tomorrow night again. He goes, and we can study next week, can't we? He's asking me when we can study.
That's good. That's real good.
So this was a great episode. I just wanted to get on here and talk to everybody. It. The whole point of this episode was like, I'm happy. This is good news. We're getting an outstanding EA starting to work his way through. But the biggest thing is because it's like, here you see somebody return to something after 10 years, and they're like, you know what? I would like to finish this. I would like to be known as a Mason. I would like to be able to wear the insignia. And
well, it's like that old joke where a guy gets an EA degree when he's a young man, and they never hear him, never hear from him again, nothing for 50 years. Comes back to lodge, and, you know, I want to go back, you know, say, check everything. Say, yeah, you were initiated 50 years ago. He goes, what took you so long to come back? I said, well, I had to learn how to subdue my passions.
That's actually really clever. I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
So. Well, you got anything else to add to this episode?
No, I'm good, man. All talked out.
All talked out. Got one more in you?
We could probably do one more.
This is what happens when we're out of content.
No shit.
So, this has been a great episode. I hope we didn't bore anybody to death. And
I hope I enlightened some people. I mean, we talked about this little esoteric stuff and how you go deep as you want, not deep as you want. I mean, do whatever.
Last time I said metaphorically going to pull the veil back on you and expose you to everybody, and then now you're talking about deep, and it's I'm trying not to act like a sophomore in high school right now.
12-year-old at a birthday party.
So, hey, I want you to remember you were the person in November of 2021 said, let's start a podcast. This is all your fault.
Yeah, we threw away the first two. We did too.
So for those that might be new to the show, and here's a refresher, because we love callbacks. We love taking everybody through the journey. So that other Masonic podcast actually lived in January of 2022 before it officially launched in November of 2022. What I mean by that is New Year's Day, we recorded two episodes. We didn't really say a name. We were just like, hey, welcome to this show. We were still debating on a name because I wasn't sold on that other Masonic podcast.
I was.
So we decided we were going to wait and just kind of see where we were at. So the episode set on the recorder. Meanwhile, I was still pumping out episodes for Steel Toes and Scoreboards. Don't listen to that show, by the way. The language is very pervasive. But anyways, I love Brock. Brock's like, that's such a great plug to tell everybody not to go listen to your other podcast. But I'm like, really don't. We haven't put an episode out in 4 months. I need to check in with my other co-host. But anyways, this show's been my focus. Kind of. We just took like a 3-month break, but whatever.
Anyways.
But anyways, I lost my train of thought.
Talking about where y'all came from.
Okay, yeah. So they sat there on the recorder, and I'm like, Todd, what are we doing? Well, I don't know. Do you think we ought to release them? I don't know. I was like, I don't know.
I didn't like them.
Todd didn't like them. I'm like, well, screw it. We're just going to go ahead and release them, and we can always rebrand the name. So I went in there to start editing these episodes that had set on the recorder. This was end of February, so these episodes had set on there for 6 weeks. And Dummy, that is the production guy and the audio engineer and everything, Dummy over here, a.k.a. me, accidentally deleted both the episodes. So then I called Todd and be like, well, we don't have to worry about the episodes. He's like, oh, yes, you're not going to release them. I'm like, I deleted them. He goes, what? I'm like, accidentally. He goes, that's probably for the best.
It was for the best.
So awesome. Then we waited, and 9 months later, then we launched, and within a month and a half of launching, then it was boom.
Everyone started talking about us.
So, all right.
Good
or bad. Good or bad. So this has been a great episode, so we hope you guys are enjoying it. We've got a lot more great content to come in Season 5, including a couple road trips we've got to get scheduled. But as we sit in the end of October with the holidays coming up and Founders Day in January, it's going to be kind of tough. So we will launch Season 6 at Founders Day. So
We might go a little bit longer this year.
We'll go a little bit longer?
Yeah, you'll get a hold up on sometime.
That's a season finale or a season premiere episode right there.
Or Fluff and...
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
So for Brother Todd...
And Brother Jared...
This has been another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.
Later.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.